This is a Jerry Pippen investigating special. MUFON, after 40 years, under siege. Hello, everyone. We're doing another show on MUFON, and I want to say something up front. First of all, we've given MUFON every chance to answer the things that we hear that are going on and to explain why they are going on and why people were dismissed. And what about that start team shakeup? Not once, but three or four times, evidently. And all kinds of rumors. And usually the answer is, I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that. Really? Things like that. So I want people who are supporting MUFON to know that I'm not out to destroy MUFON by presenting these shows. But they may be, and it appears that something is going on. And as I say, they may be doing something under false pretenses. I'm not ready to accuse anyone yet. But my experience is where there's smoke, there's fire. And so tonight, we're going to present Elaine Douglas in this hour. Elaine has been a MUFON member for 25 years, where she was until January when she was dismissed. And Elaine did not take that sitting down. She formed a committee, along with several other people who are disenchanted with MUFON. It's called the Committee to Reform MUFON. And on that note, we will be giving her website and her background and let her talk about why she thinks there are problems at MUFON and exactly what they think they are. Now, we'll be doing other shows, giving other people a chance to talk and answering some of the charges. But I must say, when you hear this interview, just as you heard Chase Klotsky last week, there is something nefarious going on. And if it's not nefarious, then what is it? Is it just egocentric behavior by good old boys and girls together? Is it an us-against-them mentality? Or are they doing a fine job? It's really up to you, the listeners, to decide, and especially the MUFON members. Remember, I've been doing UFO shows for centuries. Well, not quite that long, but decades for sure. And we've always depended on reports from MUFON. Now, the information appears that many reports never really get released. Could that possibly be true? We'll find out what Elaine thinks and what others think as we continue our series, MUFON Under Siege. On the line from Utah, we have Elaine Douglas. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jerry. My pleasure.
Elaine, we might as well start off talking about the committee. What's the correct name? Did I get it right?
The Committee to Reform MUFON.
And the committee's been in existence, what, 6 months?
About that. That's about how long. It started in January when I was fired as the MUFON state director for Utah. And that month, that very same month, there were six state directors fired and assistant state directors all unjustly fired. One of them had been a member of MUFON for 41 years. I'd been a member for 25 years. At the end of January, the bodies of the unjustly fired were laying around everywhere. And we looked at each other and said, well, I'll be damned. And that is how the Committee to Reform MUFON got started.
Now you and some members of the committee are going to be at the symposium in Irvine, California. Is that right?
Yes.
At the Hyatt Regency there. And I believe you'll have a hospitality suite at least one night.
On Saturday night.
I guess you'll be registered as the Committee to Reform MUFON so they can find you.
They can. Yes. So they don't pay any hotel bill or
you don't have to pay to come up to see you, do you? They just come into the hotel and go talk to you.
Well, we'll distribute flyers saying where our suite will be.
Okay.
And I don't know the room number yet. When this all happened in January. Ever since then, we've all been intensively studying MUFON, and I found out things that I never suspected because I never paid attention. And we've issued a number of mailings that we've sent out to all MUFON, criticizing practices in MUFON. We launched a petition, and most recently we sent a proposal to the board of directors calling for elections in MUFON.
And that proposal is for the membership to vote on the board of directors, at least affirm them. What was their reaction?
Since you asked, Jerry, I'll tell you. One of the signers, the first thing that happened was one of the signers of the proposal received a call from his state director. This is the person who signed was David Wispy in Colorado.
Yeah, I know David, well, not personally, but he does communicate with us by email.
Yeah. His state director is Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson called him up and said, David, you take your name off that proposal or you're going to be fired from your job in the MUFON Colorado chapter. He said, you send a letter to the, an email to the Committee to Reform MUFON and UCC, Clifford Clift, telling that committee that you want your name off of there. And actually, I said to my colleague Merrill, and I said, well, I guess that's a clue how the board feels about our proposal.
Well, they have promised to consider your motion, right?
They promised to consider it. They promised.
Doesn't sound like you're too confident that they'll approve it.
It's really hard to tell, Jerry. But basically, we feel there's 3,000 people almost in MUFON, and probably we can generate our own leadership. This board that we've got, they've done good work, but the problem, there's a bunch of problems with them, but one of them is they're self-appointed. It's a self-appointed board, and we want a board that we have voted on and told and said these are the people we want to lead MUFON. At least that's what we feel is necessary to be done in MUFON.
Have you ever been given an official reason why they would oppose being validated by the membership? I mean, an official reason. I mean, we know why they oppose it. They're all going to lose their jobs.
I don't know. They haven't given an official reason for opposing it. You know, I mean, David Wispy wasn't told why he had to take his name off the proposal. He was just told that he'd be fired if he didn't. And so, you know, you can make out of it what you want. But it just shows that this board hasn't learned anything. You know, they're still trying to push people around. And who wants a board that's trying to push people around?
Now, Elaine, a lot of people want to know why you left to move on. Clifford Cliff left me a kind of a strange message, an email. I said that he said he fired you because, and I don't know if you can fire people who volunteer, but you were removed because you lied, and he took me to task for that. He said, I didn't say she lied. I said she told an untruth. Now, come on, Clifford. What's the difference? You know, I can't stand these people that try to parse these things out like that. So you have it published someplace, right?
Well, yes, because it's a story. You know, you have to know the details, and I'd be willing to send it to anybody who wants to read it. They request it from me, and they can make up their own mind if that.
Now you're still a member of MUFON. What's the email address? Maybe we can put that out there.
Yes, I certainly can. It's E. Douglas. That's two S's on the Douglas at.
Yeah, two S's. I understand that. I misspelled your name once.
E. Douglas for Elaine Douglas at frontier.com. And, Jerry, you know, everything I'm going to say tonight, I'm trying to be as accurate as I can be. But after hearing this, if anybody wants to contact me and correct any mistakes I make, I'm delighted to hear from them. But we have been trying from the beginning to be accurate in everything that we say.
Okay, Elaine, here's your chance. We're going to let you explain what happened, and we're not going to censor you. Tell it like it is.
Asking me, what is my motivation in trying to reform MUFON? And in the beginning, it was because we were trying to get MUFON to stop being abusive toward members like they were toward David Wispy. That's a good example. But there's other motivations. And more these days, it looks like MUFON is under outside influences. And if MUFON is under outside influences, then that just makes a mockery out of all those idealistic investigators who work so hard and hope that MUFON will find the secret of UFOs. It just makes a mockery out of what their belief in MUFON is. And if MUFON is taking direction from somebody outside the organization, then our investigators, our members are being deceived and made fools out of. And that bothers me a lot. You know, it bothers me a lot if I think somebody's trying to make a fool out of me. And the other factor is the witnesses. It looks to us like the identity of high strangeness witnesses, their names, their address, their phone numbers, are being forwarded out of MUFON. The first clear indication we had of that was this third-party paragraph on the intake form, still on the website now, where these witnesses innocently provide MUFON. They say, okay, go ahead. Here's my permission. You can forward my information to unknown third parties. And we know from James Carrion and Richard Lang that this paragraph, this third-party paragraph, was put up during the Bigelow contract to permit the forwarding of this kind of information without any liability to MUFON. So there goes the trusting witnesses' names out to some place that we don't know where they're going. I know from my study of abductions, when I'm not doing committee to reform MUFON, I do abduction research. And I know that if the U.S. government gets a hold of your identity and you're an abductee, that can lead to very bad consequences over and above what you're already going through with the aliens. And I'm talking about the MILADS. So, you know, it is really immoral and objectionable for MUFON to forward these identities outside and not know where they're going. And so these are some of my motivations for being on the committee to reform MUFON.
Elaine, can you kind of flesh out for us what the next move is for your organization to reform MUFON? I guess it's to get these motions in front of somebody who can make a decision.
Well, what I'm trying to do right now is to help people understand why U.S. intelligence would find value in MUFON. I really want to address this because
this
people find this very hard to believe. What would U.S. intelligence want with MUFON? And Clifford Cliff, when he was on your show the other day, he says, the government doesn't need MUFON, and neither does Robert Bigelow. What would the government need MUFON for? As though, you know, what we do in MUFON is of no consequence whatsoever. So it is very hard for people to imagine that our little MUFON could be penetrated by an intelligence operation. But the fact is that the activities of ETs on this planet is a very big national security matter. Big. And hard to imagine for many people, because if it was that big of a deal on national security, wouldn't it be in the news every day like terrorism is? But instead of it being in the news, we see a complete government silence about UFOs. No reinforcement in the news. And people have it hard to hold in their minds that UFOs are a critical issue on national security, and MUFON is right in the middle of it. And then, unfortunately, if people are able to imagine MUFON being of interest to intelligence, the first thing their mind moves to is the idea that the government would try to take MUFON down. I don't believe that's the case at all. The government did take NICAP down, but that was then, and this is now. And so, as I see it, the cover-up does not want to take MUFON down. Far from it. I think that the government needs to know how the phenomenon is manifesting the American people. And what better reporting system than MUFON? We've got a superb reporting system. We're famous all over the United States. People call us and tell us what happened. And that's just perfect. And you see, this UFO cover-up we've got, they do a lot of things. But one of the things they have to do is manage the big lie. And they need an organization like MUFON. But not only do they need to know what reports MUFON gets, but there's more to it. Because there would be a small percentage of these reports, maybe 5%, that the cover-up would not want to get out. They would not want them propagated. They would want these suppressed. And the point is that requires more than just hacking MUFON's computer. Do you see what I'm getting at, Jerry? The government needs real-time access to MUFON's cases. They need it now. They need that knowledge right now. On your interview with Chase, Chuck Mullen screamed at her. He screamed at her, I want those coordinates now. You know, not tomorrow, not in 10 minutes, but now. And so somebody needs a constant understanding of what cases are coming in, and it would be very useful to them, it seems to me, to make some cases disappear. So what kind of cases would need to disappear? Any case which had a potential to make the news. Any case with a that's part of a flap or has a bunch of multiple witnesses. Any case where outside interference is going to manifest. Like that case this year, MUFON had a case this year in Florida. And MUFON did get there very fast and did do the research on the case. But shortly thereafter, somebody else showed up and torched the ground where the ground trace case was. And so a case like that where the government is going to swoop down on that case, they don't want people to even hear about the case in the first place. And so any case that might attract attention would need to be suppressed. In any case, there could be cases which intersect with it. Some ongoing intelligence activity. And there might be other reasons that we don't even understand why certain cases they would want, certain cases disappear. And some of these cases might even look innocuous on the surface. They might look like just ordinary garden variety cases, but the people involved in them might have hidden things going on with them. These things are all possible, and I could cite you chapter and verse, but...
Yeah, we're getting the idea.
See, the government not only wants, I keep saying they want, this is, Jerry, when I say a phrase like the government wants, what I mean is that after my many years of analyzing this, this is how it seems to me. That is what I mean by that. So it seems to me that not only, you know, lights in the sky or things in the sky would be of interest, but there is very private manifestation of the phenomenon in people's lives. I'm talking about the abductees, and that's what these my labs are all about. I know from my lab, from studying my lab cases, that the cover-up is paying a great deal of attention to what is going on with the abductees, how they are being dealt with by the aliens. So, you see, it is not just the things in the sky, but it's things that you couldn't see from a satellite. It's things that you could only learn about if you get there and go talk to the witness, which, of course, is what Robert Bigelow does regularly. And, you know, we know that Bigelow was deeply interested in the abduction cases. Even though Clifford Cliff told us that the reason Bigelow was interested in MUFON was because he wanted information to commercialize space vehicles. But yet we find him being very interested in abduction cases. And, you know, you might ask, how does Bigelow fit in with all this anyway? Well, if the U.S. government wants UFO information, they can't show their hand. They have to have a front because nobody must see our government.
Elaine, have you had any experience with Bigelow? Or do you know him personally?
No, if I would have had a research assistant over the last 6 months, I would have tried to research him. I know a few things about him, but I have never researched.
Elaine, the reason I ask, you're an expert in military policy. In fact, you got a degree in it.
Well, when I went to graduate school, I got my degree in military policy.
You lived in Washington, D.C. at one time and worked there.
I was, for many years.
So you know how the government works.
Yes. Well, my original career objective was to be a newspaper reporter on the military. But it didn't go there, so we didn't go there. But that's what... So, yes, I do have a certain consciousness about how the government thinks. That's correct.
Well, Elaine, you're educated in the ways of the military, in the way of Uncle Sam. So who do you think's doing this to MUFON? Who's listening? Who's interfering?
Jerry, you know... Here in the UFO community, we use the word the cover-up. We don't know where this cover-up is located. We don't know for sure what they do. We think we see parts of it in the Air Force, parts of it in the Navy. We think we see certain facilities that they control. We imagine that they are trying to back-engineer alien technology, which they probably are. But this cover-up, we know less about this cover-up than we know about the aliens, for God's sakes, to some extent. But we know there's a cover-up there. I think everybody in UFO research understands that the government knows that UFOs are real, they're extraterrestrial, and they have a big bureaucracy that's dealing with it. However they're doing, and we call that the cover-up. So Clifford Cliff says U.S. intelligence wouldn't be interested in MUFON, but I see a reason.
A lot of those people on the board at MUFON, they have military background, I mean in security and in intelligence operations. What a coincidence.
You know something, Jerry, you asked Clifford on your show the other day, you asked him about, what about these reports about people being bribed? MUFON people being bribed by Robert Bigelow. And Cliff never answered your question, but I can answer it.
Well, why don't you answer that? Yeah, hey, answer it.
Here's an email from Morgan Beal, who's a Florida MUFON investigator. This email is dated February 6th. It's from Morgan to a group of Star Team people, and it was forwarded to me by Gary Hart. Here's what Morgan wrote. Quote, I have observed missing cases and case numbers. Now, we'll get back to that. I have observed missing cases and case numbers and even bribery. Yes, that is right, bribery. I was bribed to hand over information, witness personal information, by BAS personnel, that means Bigelow, while on the STAR team during the previous project, means during the Bigelow contract. I was offered money or a job with BAS. I declined respectfully and moved on. I reported the incident. He means he reported the incident to
MUFON.
That's correct. That's right. So that means that Clifford Clift and the board knows that Bigelow was rampaging through MUFON trying to bribe people. Do you think Morgan was the only person he tried to bribe? I don't know. But now I'll give you some more information. This matter of the missing cases is something that the Committee to Reform MUFON has been looking into a great deal. Very early on, we did an interview with a fellow from New Jersey named Joe DiEduardo. Joe was one of several people that were salaried people, STAR Team. He was a dispatcher during the Bigelow contract period. And they had about 18-hour coverage of CMS. They would just sit there at their computers for 18 hours on shifts and watch the cases coming in, categorizing them, and when they get a Category 3 case, they would assign it to STAR Team. Three categories, 1, 2, and 3, and Category 3 cases are more significant. They may involve landings or beings being seen, something very significant in a Category 3 case. So they would watch the computer all day long, and they would sign off at 11 p.m. Eastern. Now, Joe tells me that on, you know, X number of occasions, they would see cases come in late at night. And maybe 10:30, they would sign off at 11. They only had a half hour. They'd say, okay, I'm going to assign this case in the morning. And in the morning, the cases would be gone. According to Joe DiEduardo, all the dispatchers were aware of this. And he sent me emails in which they discussed this matter. They were deleted overnight. They were reported on CMS. So that's MUFON's computer system where the reports come through. And there they'd be at 10:30 at night, and at 7 in the morning they wouldn't be there anymore. And they were very disturbed about this, all these dispatchers. Now, again, our topic is missing cases. Okay, here's another example. Another person who noticed missing cases is Larry Gessner. And this is my third person that I'm telling you here about missing cases. The first one we talked about it was Morgan Beale, who was the victim of the attempted bribery. Then Joe DiEduardo. Now I'm telling you about Larry Gessner, missing cases. Gessner was the fellow who took the Star Team manager job after Chase Kotsky resigned. He kept the job for a few months until Marie Maldon suggested that he resign. During this time, when he was the manager, he noticed numerical gaps in the stream of cases. They were not numbered consecutively like they were supposed to be. And Larry knew that there are some cases that are legitimately deleted. You know, move ahead. Some cases come through, let's say it's a joke, or it's not a real report. It still got a number because the computer gave it a number. And then, so there's some guy who's in charge of deleting cases that are legitimately deleted. After Larry accounted for the legitimately deleted cases, there were still missing cases. He said that, he told me during the time he had that job, there was 5 to 10 missing cases that remain unexplained. So he goes to Marie Maldon and he asks her, what about these missing cases? And she says to him, oh, this is a paraphrase, all right. Oh, don't pay any attention to those cases. They're probably military security cases. They're probably military security cases. And Larry, of course, being on the job and anxious to please, you know, he accepted that statement. And only in retrospect does he look back and realize that, you know, what was she saying? She wasn't answering his question. She was just trying to get rid of the question. You know, Chase Kletsky, she mentions the same thing in her interview. She says, I believe she said Larry inquired with her about the missing cases, and she said to him, oh, so you found it too? Chase also mentioned state directors calling her and asking her about where are these missing cases going. So lots of people have noticed these missing cases.
Coming up, Elaine Douglas in part two will talk more about missing cases, more hanky-panky, and name some names. We'll find out a little bit more about Chuck Modlin, Mary Malzahn, and a few others connected at the hierarchy of MUFON.